All right. How's everybody doing? All right? Pretty good? I was told it was cold in here. Is it better temperature now? A little better? Maybe? Okay. Well, I don't know. We are in our sermon series, Outdo, and this is our third week, of course. And we have another one and possibly one more. So a four-week series, maybe five, depending on how we feel led on our congregational meeting Sunday. But I want to speak a little bit about, I heard a great message a couple weeks ago, and I took a lot of great notes on it, and it fits so well with what we're talking about here in our Outdo series. So I hope you don't mind. I'm going to share some of those notes from you with you from a sermon I heard a few weeks ago, but I've adapted it, and I've kind of changed a few things, and we're going to fit it into our Outdo theme here. But I have a banana up here, as you can tell. but this banana is a little bit brown. It's a little bit too speckled for me to eat. I don't prefer my bananas quite like this. Anybody here? You have your scale of bananas, right? 1 to 10. 5 being, you know, normal yellow banana. Who likes their bananas on the rotten side of yellow? I knew my wife did, yeah. I'm going to give it to her after I'm done with the illustration. Because she was like, I was going to eat that, but I need it for my illustration, sorry. I'm not this kind of guy. I prefer my bananas on the green side of yellow. Who else is with me on the green side of yellow? I like them firm, kind of, you know, really solid bananas, you know what I mean? Like a man's food. But this is just kind of squishy and nasty. But seriously, who would eat? By raise of hand, who would eat this banana here tonight? This one. Well, AV team, I can't really see you, but do you have your hand up? Okay, so we have a couple. Who wants it? My wife, do you want it? Is anybody willing to eat it right now? Okay. I'm going to give it to Clay. He's going to eat it right now. You sure you don't want it? Okay. Well, the point of that little illustration is that we all know that there's two kinds of fruit. We have fresh fruit and we have rotten fruit. And if you'll go to the next slide, I have a photo of not a banana but an apple, but it depicts the same thing. We have a healthy apple on the left and a rotting apple on the right. I know that you're supposed to use very, very, very ripe apples when you make like apple pie and stuff, but that's just too far gone, right? Like nobody's making a pie out of that. Please tell me. But the guy on the left, I'll totally hang out with him, right? Like he is, what's the obvious difference between these two pieces of fruit? I'm not trying to ask a trick question. What's the difference? Like why is there such a difference between the two fruits? Yeah, but why? Somebody tell me why. What are you saying, Caitlin? That's right. One's alive and one's dead. Meaning, let's take it one step further. And this is what I'm really getting at here. One was recently picked from the tree. The other one moved out a long time ago, right? One is like just got his own place. The other one has been moved out on his own for a long time, and he is shriveled up, and he is rotten, and he is dead. Two kinds of fruit. So tonight, I want to talk about a little bit about fruit from John chapter 15. You know, we've created a theme this year, the theme outdo, right? But did you know that outdo is really just a fruit? Outdo is just a byproduct. What we read in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13, is just a byproduct. It's just a fruit of what we read earlier in Romans chapter 12. And it's the same thing that we read here in John chapter 15. But first, I don't know if you brought your Bibles with you, but I don't have this on the screen. I do want to go ahead and read our theme passage really quick. So if you have a Bible, turn there with me, Romans chapter 12. I'm just going to read it out loud. Straight from the Bible. It's not on the screen, so you can look along with a neighbor that has a copy of the Bible. But let's read, just so we can keep it top of mind, just so we can keep it fresh. Romans 12, 9 through 13, it says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality." Our word is outdo, and we find that specifically in verse 10, where it's referring to showing honor to others. But it gives a whole list. We can outdo each other in all those categories, all 12 of them, like Will preached on last week, the 12 ingredients to your love cakes, right? If there's one word I took away from last week, it was love cakes. How about you? Like, that's just stuck in my mind. Like, who's baking a love cake this week, right? So, but see, all those things you can outdo in showing honor. You can outdo by contributing to the needs of the saints. You can outdo in your service. You can outdo in your love for other people. All of those things are fruits. They're byproducts. So tonight I want to go through, if you'll stand with me, let's read John chapter 15. This is going to be our text passage for tonight. John chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 7, I believe, but let's just get a taste of what the disciple John is speaking about here. These are some of Jesus' last words, by the way. He's literally hours from being taken and going to the cross. And who knows here that last words have significance? They have meaning. They do. And so let's take heart to what Jesus is saying here. In this passage, John chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. I pray that just what you would have spoken would come from me tonight, and I pray that I would submit myself to your Holy Spirit, and that you would take this message out of my hands and minister it to myself, and to your bride, the body of Christ. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So last week, Will did an excellent message on the ingredients of love cakes. Tonight, I'm going to carry on with the food analogy. I'm going to talk about fruit. So if you want to combine this into a two-week series from me and Will, just call us the fruit cakes. Because I'm going to talk about fruit. He talked about cakes. I couldn't resist that. I had to share it with you. So, and that's all we are. We're just two fruitcakes up here trying to share God's word. We don't know what we're doing, honestly. Just a bunch of fruitcakes. So, two observations quickly tonight from this passage about the fruit of fellowship. Two observations about the fruit of fellowship. Number one, good fruit comes from abiding. Good fruit comes from abiding, and that's if you're taking notes. Number one, good fruit comes from abiding. We see that here in the passage. Oh, I didn't read 7 through 9, my bad. If you abide in me, this is the carrying on from the context. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. But let's go back to 4 through 6. Well, we'll spend the majority of our time here tonight. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So, we receive the nourishment we need from abiding in the vine. And just to establish the context a little bit, what Jesus is talking about here is that God is the gardener in this scenario. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, correct? Everybody got it? God's the gardener, Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. And so you're not going to have a dead branch producing fruit, in other words. You're not going to find a branch that's withered up producing buds, producing flowers, and therefore producing fruit. You don't have that. Dead branches, withered up branches, don't produce fruit. The only kind of branch that's going to give you fruit is one that's alive, is one that's connected to the vine, right? One that's connected to the tree. And so another way of saying this is we receive the power we need from being plugged into the source, correct? We receive the power we need from being plugged into the source. Who here would go home and vacuum without plugging in the vacuum cleaner? Andrew does all the time. Why don't we do that? How come? I mean, it's the same motion. You're getting the same workout. It's exactly the same process. But why don't we vacuum that way? It's not effective. We're not doing anything. We're not accomplishing anything. In order for the vacuum to do its job, it has to be plugged in to an outlet, right? You got to plug it in. Therefore, you have the sucking motion. You have the energy behind the vacuum. If we're going to outdo, if we're going to have these fruits, these byproducts that we read about in Romans 12, 9 through 13, we have to stay connected. Good fruit comes from abiding. And I think some of us are trying to get away with rotten fruit. You know what I mean? Because people will always be able to tell the difference between fresh fruit and rotten fruit, just like the picture we put up there of the two apples. People are going to know. People know. Your fruit is an indication of what you're connected to, what you're plugged into. And so we have to be really intentional about this, because we have this whole challenge before us, this whole year of outdoing, of, you know, we've made it a contest church-wide. We're printing cards. We're going to keep track of this. We're going to pass our cards around. We're going to be trying to outdo each other and showing honor and serving the church and showing hospitality and loving people. And all 12 of those things we'll preached about last week. But some of us are going to be handing out rotten fruit because we're not connected to the vine. We're not abiding in the vine. And people will always be able to tell the difference. Nobody's going to get away with, cutting out fruit and pasting it on a tree. You're going to know the difference between a real apple tree, and something that's manufactured, something that's fake. And that's how your fruit of outdoing is going to appear. If you're not abiding in the vine, your fruit is going to appear manufactured. It's going to appear fake. It's not going to be real. So we receive the nourishment we need from abiding in the vine. Good fruit comes from abiding. Another way to say it is the only way to pour out into others is if you've been poured into, correct? If you don't have the nourishment already, if you're not getting it for yourself, how are you going to be able to give it to others? That's why we have to be connected to the vine. That's why we have to be plugged in to the power source. Faithfulness and fruitfulness are inseparable. They're always connected. Faithfulness and fruitfulness are inseparable. It's great to have these goals. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have these goals. We definitely should have these goals. Whatever you resolve to do in 2015, keep those goals. If you resolved with us as a church that we're going to outdo one another this year, keep those goals, but realize that you're never going to outdo if you can't abide. You'll never reach if you can't remain. So what does it mean to abide? We've thrown that word around a lot, but what does it mean? What are we talking about? Abiding in the vine, abiding in Christ. What does that exactly mean? And I'm not talking about what the Greek word means. I'm talking about what does it mean for us in our daily life. Abiding means close fellowship. Close fellowship. Abiding means daily communication. Abiding means commitment through good and bad. Abiding means growing together. I can't say that I abide with my wife just because we live in the same house together. That's not abiding. Abiding is close fellowship. Abiding is daily communication. Abiding is commitment through good and bad. Abiding is growing together. And so if we translate that over in a spiritual sense, and we're talking about spiritual fruit of outdoing, abiding means close fellowship with God, remaining in Him. It means daily communication. That not only means Him talking to you, but you talking to Him, and that comes through prayer and the reading of God's Word. Abiding means commitment through good and bad. In other words, steadfastness through the joys of life and through the struggles, whether mountaintop or valley, whether you're having great success or you're going through a lot of stuff, it means commitment. And guess what? Commitment will never be God's part of the equation to work on. Steadfastness is never going to be God's part to work on. It'll always be your part. Because God's already committed. God's already steadfast. If we kept going on in this passage of John 15, we would read that He says later on in a couple verses, I have pulled you in, I have drawn you into my love. He's brought us out and He's placed us in His love, and He asks us, He begs us to remain there, to stay there. See, He's already committed. He's already steadfast. He's pulled us from point A to point B. And so that commitment and that steadfastness is up to us. You know the illustration about the husband and wife driving down the road together, and she's like, you know, we used to be closer and things have changed and I just don't feel as close to you as I did. And he says, I'm not the one who moved. You know, he's the driver. He's driving. He didn't move anywhere. And so that also is an illustration of God and us. God never moved. He's committed. He's invested in the relationship. But we have to check ourselves for the commitment. We have to check ourselves for the steadfastness. And then abiding, lastly, means growing together. In other words, it's a process. So many of us want to read this verse in verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. A lot of us, the way we live, we'd like to change that word gardener and replace it with genie, because we think that as long as we think we come to church one time and, you know, everything's going to be better, our life's going to be fixed. We think we can rub our Bible and just wipe away all our troubles. We think we can just say a prayer and He's going to come down and work in our lives. But the word here that describes the Father is a gardener. If you know anything about a gardener, it's not a glorious job title. It's not a glorious occupation. My father-in-law is a gardener. You know what he does? He gets up every single day, rain or shine, hot or cold, he goes out into the garden and he pulls weeds. He wakes up every single day, hot or cold, rain or shine, and he works the ground. He wakes up every single day, rain or shine, hot or cold, and he prunes back his bushes or his plants, whatever he's growing. Gardening is a slow process. Gardening is a patient process. Gardening is a committed process. All that to say that abiding means that we're growing together with Him. Not that Jesus needs to grow any, but if we're growing together with Him and God is our gardener, we have to realize there are areas in our life, there are certain situations in our life that we need fixed, we need help with. But it's a process. There are so many areas in my life that I want fixed now, today or tomorrow, like overnight. I want them gone. I don't want to struggle with it anymore. I don't want to deal with it any longer. But God's a gardener. He's not a genie. And so it's called sanctification. It's a process. It's going to be slow. He's going to be patient with us, and He's committed to it. And it's not going to be necessarily on your timetable. But God is a gardener. And that's what it means to abide. So kind of the takeaway from this point, good fruit comes from abiding, right? So the takeaway is, if you don't like the product you're producing, then change the pattern you're practicing. If you don't like the product you're producing, then change the pattern you're practicing. And I'm preaching that to myself. If I don't like the fruit that I see, if I don't like, maybe my fruit's rotten, I'm handing out rotten apples to everybody. If I don't like the product I'm producing, then I need to check the pattern I'm practicing. What is it that I'm doing? What do I do first thing when I wake up? What is my pattern? What do I do first thing when I get home from work? What is it that I do last thing before I close my eyes to go to sleep? What is your pattern? What are you spending your time doing? If you don't like your fruit, if you don't like the product, then maybe you should check the pattern. Anybody ever been to a 50th wedding anniversary of somebody? Maybe your grandparents or great-grandparents. Anybody ever been to a 50th wedding anniversary? I have. There's a few of us. But 50th, what's the thing about a 50th wedding anniversary? It's huge, right? It's usually a massive celebration. The whole family comes out. There's a lot of anticipation around. It's a big celebration. It's quite an achievement, right? 50 years being married. And so if you've ever been to one, it's kind of a big deal. The whole family's there. They might redo the ceremony, the wedding ceremony, in some fashion. They may renew their vows in some way. But it's awesome. If you've ever been to one, it's one of the coolest things. I got to see my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary. And now, that was 10 years ago, so now they're over 60 years married. We celebrate that in this nation. We strive for that. We look forward to that. On the other hand, who's ever been to somebody's fifth marriage? Fourth marriage? Anybody been to something like that? Guess what? Not a big party. Not a big celebration, is it? It's kind of quiet. It's usually in a home or in the clerk of court's office. Why? Why do we celebrate the 50th wedding anniversary and not somebody's fifth marriage? It's because although we live in a culture that's so caught up and so possessed with what's new and what's next, what we really crave is sameness, remaining, abiding. In a world where this culture, we talked about it a lot in this past sermon series, Paraphernalia and Propaganda, just a culture that's so soaked in new and next and arriving, and once you have arrived, you can't stay there because you're going to miss out on what's next, and everything's going on, and fifth marriages, right? I mean, it's just like something's gone wrong there. Somebody has a problem with remaining. Somebody has a problem with abiding. Not a big celebration, not something that you're super proud of. But what we are super proud of is somebody's 50th wedding anniversary, because it indicates sameness. And although we think that we want new and next, what we really desire, what we really crave is the 50th wedding anniversary. What we really crave is sameness. What we really crave is abiding. And I'm here to tell you, if you want good fruit, it comes from abiding. You'll never reach if you can't remain. You'll never outdo if you can't abide. Good fruit comes from abiding. As much as we all want to outdo this year, that's not really the measuring stick. The measuring stick is how much we want to abide in Him. The reality is we can only outdo as much as we abide, because it's the fruit of our fellowship. Outdoing will be the fruit of our fellowship. I can tell you right now who's going to win this challenge this year. I can come to you and predict that the winner of this outdo challenge this year, guess what? It's going to be the person who abides in Christ the most. It's going to be the person who has a daily walk. It's going to be the person who has a passionate relationship with Jesus. Because guess what? It's not so much that they're working on the fruit so hard, it's they're working on abiding so hard, and the fruit's going to follow. The fruit's natural byproduct. You're going to find them outdoing you. You're going to find them serving you. You're going to find them loving you. You're going to find them contributing to the needs of the saints. You're going to find them loving the unlovable. You're going to find them all those 12 things that we covered last week. Not so much that they're focused on this challenge, this contest of outdo, but it's because they've committed themselves to abiding. They've committed themselves to the relationship they have with Jesus. they decided, rather than to focus on reaching, I'm going to remain. Rather than to focus on outdoing, I'm going to abide. I want the 50th wedding anniversary, not the fifth marriage. You won't be able to produce good outdoing fruit unless you form the routines of abiding. The only way our church will be able to keep outdoing all year is if we're plugged into the source all year. The only way to make this sermon series not a month-long fad is if we decide as a church that we're going to commit to abiding. We're going to commit to remaining. You know, we try to come up with cool graphics and we try to market our sermon series. Nothing, it's just marketing. People do it. Because why? Why do people market products and throw graphics up and make things shiny and sparkly all the time? Because they want their product to stick. They want it to sell, but they also want it to stick. I guarantee you, I'm not going to be running up to David in December at the end of this year talking about, dude, did you see the graphics they made for Outdo? Like, that was the sickest sermon series graphic. Man, that just, the graphic alone made me like, I'm sold on the idea for the whole year. Nobody's going to do that. You're not even going to remember the pink circle in December. Marketing and this little graphic that we make is not going to make outdoing stick. What's going to make outdoing stick? The vine. If you're connected to the vine, if you're remaining and abiding in the vine, the routines behind it. So, if our church is going to make it for the whole year, if St. Paddy's Day comes and goes and we're still focused on abiding, it's going to be because our church decided to remain. Our church decided to abide. I hope that I don't find at the end of the year when December comes, I hope that I don't find a bunch of circle cards in mint condition with just maybe one or two names on them. You know what I mean? That's our human nature. That's probably more than likely the odds are against us. The odds are that it's going to be just a nice little sermon series, and by the time April hits, we're not even going to remember what our sermon series was about. But I'm challenging me and I'm challenging you that if we're going to make it till December, if we're going to have just as much passion in December as we have now about outdoing, about the fruits of abiding, we have to commit to it. We have to commit to it. So, good fruit number one, good fruit comes from abiding. Number two, good fruit comes from practicing. Good fruit comes from practicing. And we find that here in verses 1 and 2. It's already up. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he what? He prunes. That it may bear more fruit. The Bible word for this is pruning. It's pruning. Good fruit comes from pruning. Like I said, my father-in-law is a gardener. There's not hardly a week goes by that I don't catch him outside snipping at some rose bush or pulling up something or cutting back this or getting this ready for winter. He's always pruning. He's always practicing his craft. He's always trying to make it better. And if we're going to have good fruit, if we're going to outdo, not only do we have to abide, not only do we have to learn to remain, but we also have to practice. Good fruit comes from practicing. Pruning is the gardening process we go through to achieve our resolutions. Because, let's be honest, outdoing is just a resolution. That's all it is. That's all it is. But it's the practicing that's going to make us achieve. It's the pruning that's going to get us to where we want to go. See, fruits don't come without commitment. Fruits don't come without discipline and resolve and being stretched. So many people look at the results of others, the successes of others, not realizing the routines behind it, not realizing the monotony behind it. Right? You see the guy who has, you know, the six-pack and his body is chiseled. You want his success. You see the nice yard and the manicured lawn and you desire that. You see the people with the well-behaved, respectful kids. You want that. You desire that. You see the guy who gets the promotion and the big paycheck. And and we want that. We desire that success. We see people who are spiritually mature and gracious with their words and wise beyond their years, and we desire that. We want that. We see people who have extensive Bible knowledge and have searched the Scriptures, and we want that for ourselves. We see people who have success in building relationships. We want the success of those who love others so easily. But so often we don't take into account that they practiced that. They developed the routines. They developed the patterns. They committed not to the result, but to the routine. It takes commitment. It takes discipline. It takes routine. You see, people want to look ripped, but they only go to the gym twice a month. Like I said at the beginning, most New Year's resolutions are gone by 14 days. Done. People want the nice yard and the manicured lawn, but they don't pull the weeds every day. People want the well-behaved, respectful kids, but they don't spend time parenting at home. People want the promotion and the paycheck and the big break, but they don't work at the work that they have to do today. People want to be spiritually mature. They want to be gracious with their words. They want to be wise beyond their years, but they don't confess daily sin. People want the Bible knowledge and an understanding of the Scriptures, but they don't read it. People want success in building relationships, but they don't work at the ones they have. People want to have success in loving people, but they won't make the first unselfish decision. The point is, you have no right to be disappointed about the fruit from the seed you didn't sow. Can I say that again? Somebody help me preach this. You have no right to be disappointed about the fruit from the seed you didn't sow. There are too many Christians looking over their fence, looking over their white picket fences, looking at so-and-so's apple tree and his beautiful fruit hanging from the apple tree, and all you got behind you is a field of dandelions, and you're wondering, man, how did he get so lucky? How did he come across that property with that beautiful tree and that just the fruit is just hanging off of that tree? And we're just sitting over here in our dandelion field hoping and praying that an apple tree is going to pop up. We can cut one out of cardboard and stick it up from the ground, but people are going to know it's not real. People are going to know it's fake. No, this guy didn't just get lucky. He didn't just happen upon it. He worked at it. He's the one who planted the apple tree seed. He's the one who went and worked the soil. He's the one who fertilized the soil. He's the one who worked on that young sapling of the apple tree. He's the one who pruned it back so he could get not only fruit, but more fruit and better fruit. While you're sitting over here blowing dandelions and you're wondering why you don't have apple trees popping up everywhere, you don't have a right to be disappointed about the fruit from the seed you didn't sow. Good fruit comes from practicing. You want to outdo this year? You want to be early to stuff? You want to serve? You want to outdo and showing honor? You want to love the unlovable? You want to contribute to the needs of the saints? Practice it. Don't just talk about it. Don't just desire the results that you see somebody else having. If you see results and you see success, it's because they practiced it. Everybody know who Rich Froning is? He's a 4-time national champion, fittest man in the world. Kind of a big deal. And he loves Jesus, so that helps too. He's got Galatians 6:14 tattooed right here. But you know what makes him so successful? It's not the one day that he goes to the national champion, fittest man of the world contest. It's not that he got really lucky in doing his pull-ups that one day of the national championship. It's not that he paid off some of the judges that one day of the national championship. No, the reason why he's successful on national championship day is because the monotonous 364 other days that he was in the gym working it. You know what I'm saying? If you don't learn to embrace the monotonous, you're not going to see the miraculous. If you can't learn to embrace the 364 days of hard work and practice, you're not going to see the 365th day and the gold medal and the podium. A Bible example is Joshua. Right? Joshua was told he entered the promised land and his first task was Jericho. And God gave him the craziest, weirdest, wackiest battle plan. He said, walk around it. And Joshua had a decision to make. He could either say, okay, that's, you know, we're going to look like idiots, or he had the decision to just obey. And so day one, God says, walk around the city, and what does he do? He gathers all of his people, and he walks around the city of Jericho. Day two comes, and God says, walk around the city, Joshua. And so guess what Joshua does? He gathers all his people, and he walks around the city of Jericho. Day three, same thing. Day four, same thing. Day five, same thing. Day six, really, God? Am I going to do it again? Am I just going to walk around the city again, just hoping that the walls are just going to fall in? I'm just going to walk in and take my loot. And sixth day, he did the same thing. Seventh day, let's read about it from Joshua 6:15. On the seventh day, they arose early at dawn of day and marched around the city. What are the next three words? In the same manner. In the same manner. Nothing changed about the routine. Nothing different occurred that day. It was the same manner. They walked around the city the same way, took the same footsteps. Only it was on that day they marched around the city seven times, and it was that day the walls fell down, and it was that day they went in and were victorious, and it was that day they were allowed to march in and take booty and loot, whatever they wanted. It was on that day. What I'm saying is, you don't know when your day is going to be that day. You don't know when that day is going to be the day for you. You can't give up on day six. You can't give up on day 364. You got to practice what you want to produce. You got to practice it. Good fruit comes from practicing. You want to outdo one another in serving the Lord and serving others? Practice serving. You want to outdo in loving people? Practice loving people. You want to outdo in contributing to the needs of the church? Practice it. Good fruit comes from practicing. Anybody heard of Odell Beckham Jr.? He's a wide receiver for the New York Giants. And he made a catch a few weeks ago that has been called the greatest catch ever. Greatest catch ever. Some of the people on ESPN and all those, the old guys and the guy with the bald hair that's got a lot of Super Bowl rings, calls it the greatest catch ever. The luckiest catch. Man, you hear some of the analysts talking about on ESPN and stuff. Man, I would have loved to have been in his shoes. I would have killed for that opportunity. Wow, did he get lucky. I went into work the next day on Monday, and people were like, did you see that OBJ catch? That was the luckiest catch ever. That was the greatest catch. I have it for us, so let's watch it here. Pretty impressive. Let's watch it again. And the flag, by the way. So he catches it with one hand, and pass interference is called on Dallas, but he makes the catch. Awesome catch. Stays in bounds, lands in the end zone, touchdown. One hand. If you'll pause it right there. So many of us admire the results. So many of us admire the success. So many of us want the limelight and the audience and the fanfare. We want day 365. We want the podium and the gold medal, and we're jealous and we desire that. We want that kind of fruit in our life. But I'm so glad somebody had a camera on Odell Beckham Jr. right before the game, and this is what happened. This is right before the same game. Watch what he's doing. Same thing. And the real thing again. Why did he make the catch in the real game in front of the audience in the stadium with the lights? Why did he do that? How did he perform that way? Because he practiced that. He practiced it. If we want to have that kind of fruit, if we want to have good fruit this year, if we want to outdo, it doesn't come on one lucky day, 365. It doesn't come on day 7, marching around the city. You can't just show up for that day. You got to show up for the other 6. You got to show up for the other 364. If you want to experience the good fruit of outdoing, practice it. Practice it. Practice it. In just conclusion, what's applauded by the crowds is always rehearsed backstage. You believe that? You think anybody's just lucky enough to... Nobody's born great. Nobody's... Odell Beckham Jr. wasn't born with that ability overnight. You don't have concerts and symphonic orchestras go out and play for the first time in front of thousands of people without practicing. No. What's applauded by the crowds in the stadiums under the lights is always rehearsed backstage, many times with failure after failure after failure after failure until it's right. Until it's right. What you become good at is whatever you spend the most time doing. What you become good at is whatever you spend the most time doing. So what are you going to spend the most time doing? What are you going to spend the most time doing? What's your pattern like? If you don't like the products you're producing, maybe you should check the pattern you're practicing. What kind of fruit will you have this year? The good fruit of fellowship comes from abiding and practicing. Abiding and practicing. Here's what I want us to do as a church. Starting on Monday, we're going to read Romans 12 every day for the next 30 days. Hey, we want to abide, right? We want to practice, right? Okay, well, let's put it into practice. Let's actually remain. Let's actually abide, right? So for the next 30 days, we're going to read Romans 12 every day. That takes you through Valentine's Day next month. I'm going to memorize it. And I hope that you're up for that too. If you feel like it, you can memorize it with me. I'm going to memorize Romans 12. That's our theme chapter. I've never been so sure. I've never been so excited for what God is going to do in our church this year. Romans 12. We're going to read it every day. If you want to memorize it, memorize it. Let's practice what we want to produce. Let's abide in Him and see what the fruit of our fellowship produces. Let's stand and pray, and then we'll sing one last song as we go here tonight. But I hope that you were able... Man, I learned so much from this message, from putting it together and from practicing it. Hey, people come up to me all the time and they say, I don't know how you do. I don't know how you can get up there and talk in front of people and communicate like that. Guess what? I practice. You know how Will gets up here and he does such a great job preaching? He practices. You can ask Alyssa. I was the shyest kid in my school. Shyest one. This is not natural for me. It's my gifting, but it's not natural. I had to work it. I had to practice it. You see somebody who's good at something, they practiced it. Whatever you spend the most time doing is what you're good at. What kind of fruit are you going to have this year? Can I encourage you to decide tonight? You're going to have good fruit. And let's not so much focus on the outdoing. That's the goal. That is the challenge. But let's focus more intently on the abiding. Can we have more 50th anniversary Christians and less 5-year marriage Christians, fifth marriage Christians? Can we practice our trade? Can we stop being so disappointed about the fruit from the seed that we didn't sow? Let's abide and let's practice. Abide and practice. Outdoing comes from abiding. Outdoing comes from practicing. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you so much, and I thank you for this sermon. I thank you for how much I've learned and how much I'm still learning from these truths. And what I'm so thankful about tonight is that you don't even have to be a Christian to get something out of this. These are just principles. This is just life principles that we can apply to any area of our life. Help us to take it to heart. Your word will not return void, God. You say in your word. I pray that we would learn to remain in you, God. I pray for that close fellowship. I pray for that daily communication. I pray for the growing together. I pray for the commitment and the steadfastness we need. And God, as we embark on this journey to read Romans 12 every day for the next 30 days, I pray that you would ingrain in us the routine for the results that we desire so much. Help us get the routine the right way so that eventually the routine becomes the reward and not so much the result, but the routine becomes the reward. We desire that as a church. Help us to learn the greatness of abiding and remaining and practicing. That's what we want this year. Help us not to measure so much at the end of the year our results from this challenge, but our heart, whether we remained, whether we abided. We're so thankful for what you're going to do in and through us. I thank you for everyone who is here tonight. I pray that you bless them as they go. Keep them safe. We love you. Thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for us. It's with that salvation that we can go boldly and confidently into a dark world and shine our lights. You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. And we want to sing about that right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah.